People are always questioning preachers on TV. Do you believe their messages are sincere?
Well, I've seen many of them fall, and this proved to me that they were fake. They were not what they claimed to be. The Bible said that not all Israel are Israelites, meaning not all that claims to be Jews are true Jews. They're not true Jews. And so this is true with it. I'm not being in a position to say, again, which are fake and which are not, only by their works on the outside. They fall, and they leave a lot of people disappointed in them. I've known many, and I would not name them, but some of my favorites are Billy Graham. He's a Baptist. Ben Hayden from Chattanooga, Tennessee, is one of my very favorite, and he is a Presbyterian, but he is a good Bible preacher and a good Bible teacher. But many of them are false. When you get up on TV and beg people, send in money that people can hear the gospel, then you take this money and put a $700,000 fence around you, $700,000 fence around your home. Naturally, this makes you and other people wonder, and it doesn't make you very eager to contribute to something like that.
How do you view the interpretation of the Bible throughout the years, the different people? Do you believe they've changed the meaning throughout time?
Well, yes. Many people who used to really, really preach the Bible as it was. Now, many people in our day, they'll say, well, I know the Bible says so-and-so, but they have a but religion. The Bible says so-and-so, but if the Bible says it, that settled it. That's what it is. I see signs pretty regularly. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. There's something wrong with that saying. God said it, and that settles it whether we believe it or not, because God's word was settled in heaven even before he spoke the world into existence. And by the way, I'm from the old school. I believe that God brought the world into existence without the aid of anything which pre-exists, which the first four words of the Bible teaches us that. But many have changed, yes. Many have changed. And it's sad to me. It really is. Someone said one time that no man has a right to do as he pleases until he pleases to do right. So the Bible teaches us three things always. It teaches us what is right, what is wrong, and what to do about it, or how to correct it. It's like a looking glass. We look into it, and we look into the looking glass in the morning, and we see that our hair needs to be combed, or we need to be shaved, and all this. If we just look in there, we're like a hearer of the word, not a doer there. And so nothing happens. When we hear the word, we need to be not only hear the word, but we need to be doers of the word. So definitely it has changed. People have become very complacent. Preachers, along with lay members, and all have become very complacent. And the message of Christianity just don't mean as much to a lot of people as seemingly that it should.
In your experiences of being a minister, how has your church groups changed over the year?
Well, I pastored, of course, I preached in many churches and held revivals in different churches. And I pastored seven different churches. Two of these churches I pastored two different times, one 16 years total, another 12 years total. And they have changed. The congregation in our church presently, our congregation has changed in that it was a mining camp, and all we have now are older people. Our congregation is made up primarily of people who from 92 years of age down to 80 or thereabout. We have very few people that are under 80 years old. And it has changed in that these particular people, they're real saints of God, but a person is 80 or 90 years old, they don't feel like going out on visitation, and they can't drive after dark, so it presents a problem. And presently we are having service at 5 o'clock in the afternoon so they can have night service, but they definitely have changed. People have taken other priorities there, in taken those other priorities instead of the Bible and the church. Many things, and I'm not knocking it. Some of them are good in their play, but we have many programs, and I would not knock any of them. They all have their place, I'm sure. But some of them have taken priority over the preaching of the word, which then I think it's wrong. I think that they ought to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things be added unto you.
When did you know you wanted to become a minister, and what steps did you take to become one?
I came back. I was discharged from the service in 1946, and I was discharged down to Port Sam, Houston, Texas, and came back home. I was raised over in Gainesville, Texas, or near there, out in the country, a little place out there called Bulger, Texas. It is on the map, by the way. And I came back, and my uncle was pastor over a little church over Tyler Bluff, what they call Tyler Bluff. He had been pastor of one of the largest churches in Fort Worth, Texas for many years, and he resigned from that and came back out in the country out there. Many people thought he was nuts by doing so, but anyhow, he felt like he was following the Lord's leadership, and turned out that he was. And I was singing with a little group, and so we went over, the group went over to their church there for homecoming, and I saw this pretty little redheaded lady, 16 years old, and I had my eye on her and all, and so we got married a little later there, and so then I began to feel in my heart that God had something special that he wanted me to do. Something, he had something special. The Bible said if a man desires the work of a bishop, he desires a good work. But Paul said in writing to the churches of Galatians chapter 1 there, that he was called not of men but of the Lord. I believe that an individual has to not only desire work like this, but I believe that they have to have a divine call of God. And I know the scripture kept coming to me. I did not know a whole lot of scripture by heart, but one when Paul had a vision at night and someone was there waving, beckoning to him, and said, come over into Macedonia and help us. And so this feeling just kept getting greater and greater and greater. Well, my wife had, mother and dad had moved down to Alabama, and so she'd been wanting to move down here. So I thought, you know, well, I'll just tell her we'll move to Alabama, and the Lord will let up on me. I didn't know that God was going to be in Alabama, too, when I got there. He was already there before I got there. And so I thought that'd be a way that I could get away from that. But I didn't. And one night during revival, the old gentleman, he's with the Lord now, has been for many years, Brother Lou Allen. He was preaching, and when he gave the invitation, I came forward and dedicated my life to preaching the Word. And, of course, there's been a lot of ups and downs, and not everything has always gone like you would want it to go. But I've thought so many times that about life, and it's that way in the ministry or any other vocational work as far as that's concerned. It's a mixture of good and bad. You don't find all good, and neither do you find all bad. So there's some good and some bad. And just when you get, sometimes when you get down, God will let something happen, just like when you're digging for gold. And maybe you might be getting about ready to give up, and then you'll find a nugget there, and that will encourage you. The same thing is true in your Christian service, in your preaching, or whatever. There, when you get down, and all preachers do, of course, they're human. We all are. And then we find a nugget. We see someone accept Christ, or we see some life that is blessed. Just recently, I was privileged to baptize a gentleman who was in his late 50s. Of course, I used to think this was old, of course, anymore, being 73 years old, 50-something is just a young now. But anyhow, that, to me, it really did lift me up and inspire me to see a person like that come to Christ and be privileged to baptize them. in 08.
Do you remember what the day was like in church the day you got saved?
Yeah, I was saved over in Gainesville, Texas, down East California Street, and the pastor of this church was named Brother Parker. Don't remember his first name. He was in the lobby of an old hotel, and it was a stucco building, and the plaster was turning loose. And it wasn't but just a handful of people. As I remember, maybe 30. And when they gave invitation and all, I came and accepted Christ. I'd been raised up in the church to go to church. Of course, when I was young, my mother and dad, on Sunday morning, that's where we went. We went to church. We didn't ask, are we going to church? We knew we were going, like it or not. Many times we didn't, but we knew we were going, and we knew we were going to behave when we got there, too. We knew we were better. And so are things going to pick up whenever you got back home, and you didn't want that happening no more. But I surrendered my life to the Lord that night, and then I surrendered later, some 2 years later, there to the ministry. And I have really enjoyed it. I'm 73 years old. I started preaching when I was 50 years old. I was ordained in August of 51, fourth Sunday in August of 1951. And I've been pastoring churches since that time, bivocational pastor. Pastor of smaller churches. The largest church that I pastored had 160 in Sunday school. That was in Irondale. And the smallest church that I pastored, I guess, had 25. So no real big church, just small churches. But precious people, and I've been real fortunate to have a precious wife that's always worked with me and always been agreeable and all these things. And without her, well, I couldn't have done it. And I've been privileged to work with some of the most precious people in the world. I've always had good deacons to work with and good choir directors and all these things, you know, that everybody working together. I've really been blessed in that sense. Never had any real problems in the church, no what I would say major problem. Not everybody always agreed on everything, but we always disagreed without being disagreeable.
In my experiences in church, I've noticed that a lot of the youth say they're saved, but it's more because their parents told them they were saved, so when they was like four, but later they realize, well, they told me I'm saved, but I need to get saved myself. Did you find yourself in that situation going to church with your parents?
No, that wasn't my case, but I can certainly relate to what you're saying. Many people today, I'm mighty afraid, particularly in crusades, and to prove this point, and this is, I don't mean for this to be critical or sarcastic or anything of the sort, but in many of the crusades, only on an average about 6% of people ever affiliate themselves with the church. I'm a strong believer when a person really and truly gets born again, I mean when they get saved, have an experience with a person, and that person being the Lord Jesus Christ, that they'll want to follow him. They'll be baptized, they won't get in church, and they'll work. But yes, I know what you're saying exactly, because many have been led to believe that they were saved, and then later on in life, and I would say this, I knew a Sunday school teacher who had taught Sunday school for 18 years. And she was miserable all the time because she knew that she'd not had a personal relationship with the Lord. And so she was saved, of course, as I say. Let me say this. I'd hate to be pastor. I wouldn't want to be pastor of a church. And someone teach a Sunday school class for 15 or 18 years and not know whether or not they were saved or not. I wouldn't want to be her pastor there. But this happens sometimes.